WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court ruling that USAID must pay international aid groups that have already provided services. President Trump had been trying to pause that funding in Washington. ABC's Devin Dwyer has more.
Five justices on the Supreme Court said Trump needed to comply with that order and at least for now begin paying out that $2 billion in aid, a sliver of foreign aid from this country, not by any means all foreign aid, but just a sliver to these particular groups that brought this challenge.
The president delivering his first address this term to a joint session of Congress, touting his administration's rapid-fire moves on reshaping U.S. foreign policy, economic policy, and immigration policy. Today, Vice President J.D. Vance, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard will all be visiting the southern border. The market's holding a bit steadier following the sharp drop the last 2 days because of the tariff announcements. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Trump administration's new tariffs will raise taxes on goods from Canada, Mexico, and China, three of the nation's biggest trade partners. All consumers will feel the effects, and so will producers like farmers. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Wisconsin farmers are bracing for impact. Michael Slattery is a farmer in Manitowoc County. He grows corn, soybeans, and canning vegetables, and he exports lots of them to other countries. He has a decent idea of how these tariffs could impact him. In 2018, during Trump's first term, when he added tariffs to China and China retaliated, Slattery lost 60% of his revenue.
It takes decades to build up a stable market relationship between an exporter and an importer. And so we were losing our biggest importer of agricultural produce because of these Trump tariffs.
Farmers would be affected twofold on exporting their products, and tariffs would raise prices on things like fertilizer and equipment parts necessary to their operations. In 2023, Wisconsin exported almost $4 billion worth of agricultural products. China, Canada, and Mexico are some of the state's largest trade partners. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Governor Tony Evers this week will be traveling across the state to highlight initiatives in his 2025-27 executive budget announced last month that makes sweeping changes to the healthcare industry, including several key initiatives to crack down on health insurance companies, proposing to make Wisconsin the first state in America to start auditing insurance companies over denying Wisconsinites health care claims, ensuring Wisconsinites can get the health care they need when and where they need it, quicker and closer to home, and once again proposes expanding access to quality, affordable health care coverage. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks down the Hawks 127-121 in Atlanta. Damian Lillard scored 23 points, but after the game had a swollen black left eye. How'd that happen?
I went up to try to, you know, help off the glass, and was behind the guy. His arm just came down. His elbow went, you know, right up. Like, the point of his elbow hit right on my eyeball. So, you know, once it hit, I knew it was either going to swell up or turn black. But my vision was, I never had my vision get blurry like that.
Men's college basketball, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in Minnesota tonight for the border battle, while number 20th ranked Marquette seeking revenge at UConn. NFL, Green Bay Packers re-signing kicker Brandon McManus to a new 3-year deal worth $15.3 million. McManus gets a $5 million signing bonus with another $5 million guaranteed. He turns 34 this summer at the start of training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have some rain now, but that will change to snow by later this morning into early afternoon with about an inch of accumulation possible. On top of that, it's going to be very windy. 35 to 45 mile per hour gusts will create blowing snow this afternoon into this evening. Conditions will gradually improve late tonight. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Wednesday, March 5th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same as yesterday. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same as it was yesterday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We have a lot of stuff coming your way today, coming up next half hour. Derek Van Orden.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the guest.
Derek Van Orden from Wisconsin's western side.
Yes.
He's an elected official here in Wisconsin. Yes, Derek Van Orden is back in the news. And also, you may have missed this, but if you're a federal employee, I'm sorry to tell you that you don't have a real job.
Nope.
That does not count as a real job, federal employees. This from some relatively prominent Republicans saying those things out loud. We're just reporting what they say. So, sorry, guys, federal employees. Yeah, that's not a real job. We'll go into more details after the 10:30 news. After the 11 o'clock news, Darren Van Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, will be here to talk about tariffs.
Good.
Yes.
Yes.
And also the right to repair bill that we had talked about last week or the week before. And this would allow farmers, and you would think this would be a no-brainer, but this would allow farmers to fix their own equipment without having to download a very expensive app or go to the dealership to also pay for very expensive repairs. So this does seem to be a bipartisan bill, whether or not that's going to go anywhere, because, again, this is Wisconsin.
Yeah, bipartisan doesn't mean much in this state anymore.
Unfortunately not. As we always do for the last half hour of the show, we call it Audio Sorbet, a little cleansing for you. We lighten things up for the last half hour, so after the 11:30 news with the Oscars just handed out on Sunday night, we're going to talk movies. What is the movie that everybody else loves but you? And what is that film? We all have one, Calvin, Greg, and I. We would love to hear yours. What's the movie that everybody else thinks is so fabulous? And you're like, it doesn't just do it for me.
It's not that great. Oh, no. Now I have another one, too.
Oh, good, good, good. Save it. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Flipper Flips Out edition.
Oh.
So, and there's a video component as well.
Yes.
So stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though, with this from Daniel Bice in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The headline reads, Elon Musk-backed political group is posting fake pro-Susan Crawford ads on Facebook. I really wish people would get off of Facebook. I think it's a toxic, terrible place to be. I left it in 2019, and I couldn't be happier, and I've never missed it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but those folks that I used to go to high school with,
yeah.
if I wanted to know what they were up to, I would have stayed in touch with those people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is all over Facebook now.
I wish Elon Musk would just run some companies or something. That's what I wish he would do.
Yeah. In recent days, a group calling itself Progress 2028 has started running ads on the upcoming Supreme Court race between Judge Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel, Elon Musk's boy. Judge Susan Crawford, according to one message, would reform cash bail and support second chances, not incarceration. Say thank you. Another digital ad encourages viewers, drop a comment below encouraging Susan Crawford to stand strong for compassionate criminal justice reform. Now, this almost sounds like it could be the flip side of Project 2025.
Yeah.
This again from Daniel Bice, but it's not. Progress 2028 is a front group funded by, Elon Musk, our co-president. It's underwriting these fake ads and text messages supposedly promoting Susan Crawford to the Supreme Court by tying her to what could be considered controversial positions like supporting Planned Parenthood. The goal, to chip away support from Susan Crawford in her race against conservative Waukesha County Judge, nice parting gift, Brad Schimmel. The election is April 1st. This same group, Progress 2028, aired fake ads purporting to support Kamala Harris. And it must have worked. It must have helped. People see things on Facebook and assume it's the truth. People see my friend's cousin's dog walker said X, therefore that makes it true.
Yeah.
You got to be a little bit more selective, I guess, about what you believe on these social media sites.
It'd be nice, but unfortunately, we've talked about this in the past, is that we know that not everybody is in this world as much as we are and don't view it with as maybe as a skeptical eye. So sometimes people just see it like, oh, okay, well, it says Susan Crawford is, you know, wants softer justice reform or whatever.
Right.
I don't like that. I'm not going to vote for her. All right, I got to move on. I got to go pick up the kids.
Because, and I know, we know you have a life and you have all kinds of things going on. And if you are of a certain age, you're not only raising children, but you're helping care for your elderly parents. Mm-hmm. There, people have a lot going on in their lives. So I understand that. But again, you can't just take everything as gospel because your friend's cousin's dog walker said it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Progress 2028 is supported by Building America's Future. You got to love these names.
Yeah.
A Elon Musk-funded political nonprofit. Elon Musk spent $100 million over the last 4 years starting in 2022. It's not a new tactic, apparently, but its potential reach and impact are. Building America's Future, not new to Wisconsin. The nonprofit has reported it's already spent more than $2 million on TV ads attacking Susan Crawford in Wisconsin's five media markets. Lots of money. Elon is pouring all kinds of money into Wisconsin because he needs to make sure, and you may question why.
Mm-hmm.
Elon needs to make sure that Brad Schimmel gets his spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Why would this be so important to Elon Musk?
Oh, I could tell you. It's because he owns Tesla. He's the CEO of Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, he's been wanting to get Tesla dealerships in Wisconsin. They've said no.
Yes.
And if Brad, not for sale, Schimmel gets on the bench, then he'll probably be laxed on that and mostly be like, well, it's business. It's capitalism.
Right.
It's freedom of the businesses. Let him have it. And then he's free. Because I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. I don't think you can buy Teslas in Wisconsin. I think you have to
There are no Tesla dealerships in Wisconsin. And we talked about this earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Elon would like to change that.
Yes.
And there is a potential that this could end up in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And, you know, if Brad Schimmel's there, then it might kind of go Elon's way.
Yes.
So it's like Elon's just investing in the future. Right?
It's
in his future.
Well, I mean, but let's not forget Brad Schimmel, as he has said in the papers, he is not for sale.
Right.
And he likes to pretend that
even though he talked about going on his knees before people asking for donations.
Yeah.
That's all fine.
And because I'm always interested in this stuff, because Elon Musk is the richest man on earth, because they tell us, because zeros and ones mean something. $100 million, you said, in 4 years?
Yes.
That is 0.03% of his wealth.
Like, yeah, that's nothing.
It's nothing.
It is really a minuscule amount of money for him.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like,
he doesn't even notice that.
When we talk about them spending this kind of money, it is it is a fraction of what they could be paying in taxes.
Or giving to charity.
Or charity, or paying more in Social Security, or doing something to help people. But they don't do that because why? Why would they do that?
When reached about this, Judge Susan Crawford said, quote, "They are ascribing positions to me on things that I have never stated any position on, and certainly never anything I've had a case before me on. I think they are engaging in a lot of guesswork and speculation." I also think it's important that folks remember, and we did address this briefly yesterday, Brad Schimmel last week declined to say whether or not the Wisconsin Supreme Court came to the right decision in the 2020 election. Don't forget, we were this close to overturning the results of the 2020 election, which, after spending $2 million of our money, we found out it was a perfectly fair and legitimate election. But Brad Schimmel is still not, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. To be honest, says Brad, "I didn't spend any time reviewing that. I've got a day job. I didn't go through that. I don't know the answer to what I don't know." And in a meeting with supporters last month, Brad, commemorative coin fan Schimmel, said that the Supreme Court treated Donald Trump unfairly, quote, "I think the odds of an endorsement are probably pretty high because, you know, one thing he doesn't do is forget people that screw him over, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court screwed him over," unquote.
He also thinks that January 6th participants couldn't get a fair...
They weren't treated fairly.
Fair trial.
They weren't treated fairly, Greg.
And also, just, you know, for the fun of it, Google Brad Schimmel and 1849 abortion ban in Wisconsin. See what his true feelings on that are. This man is a charlatan. He is trying to make himself seem like a level-headed...
A reasonable
man who just wants to enforce the law and the people's... No. He has an agenda, like every politician. They're not supposed to in a judge's race, but they do. And he's doing a poor, poor job of trying to hide his.
I don't know. He's doing an okay job. There are plenty of folks who are, I think, unaware.
I mean, well,
I do. That's kind of why we're pointing it out.
Yeah.
He will be Elon's man on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And if you have no problem with your vote getting thrown out the next time the Republicans don't like the results of an election, Brad's your guy.
Yeah.
Brad is your guy.
If democracy and voting and the election process is just too taxing for you, they have a solution.
Cast your vote for Brad. Yeah. When we return, there was a speech last night.
I heard about it.
I've heard some things about that. We'll kick that around just briefly. Stay close. You were listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, would have squat about that law.
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mach Caliente on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, you can also call and text directly from the Civic Media app.
And it's only $300 today only.
It's free.
Oh, why? We can make so much money.
It's a free app. It's fantastic. You can listen to any of our stations all across the state. Mm-hmm. So we do have music stations. Civic Media has a number of music stations around the state. So if you want a little break, check out some tunes. You can do that. And you can also sign up for our newsletters.
Yes.
Which, depending upon where you live in Wisconsin, whether it's here in Racine or you live in Oshkosh or Green Bay or Hayward, you can sign up for a newsletter specific to your area that covers local sports and local issues. And with the losing of local newspapers and so many local outlets going away and being bought up, it's really a wonderful resource, and our news team is killing it.
And you can get those news stories in the app, and you can always go to civicmedia.us. We were talking about this yesterday at a meeting. We have wonderful reporters on the scene, like in those small towns, getting those stories that affect your street.
Yep.
And so, yeah, civicmedia.us, get the app, get the newsletter. Sign up for the podcast. Just do it all. Get us into your life. We want to be next to you.
And spread the word.
Spread the word.
If you like what we do, please spread the word.
Yeah.
Because we're new. We're still a new
company.
We're still
shiny.
We're still shiny new. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about Elon Musk's boy, Brad Schimmel, running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court and why this might be important for Elon financially. And we made a little error, and I wanted to correct this, from Robert and Marine in Richland Center. There are Tesla dealerships in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, but state law prevents factory-owned dealerships.
Right. Yep.
So thank you for that. Musk wishes to have factory-owned dealerships. Right. So he can't do that right now. Mm-hmm. There are some cases moving through the court system that could, down the road, end up before the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if Elon's guy, Brad Schimmel, was the guy on the court with the deciding vote? Wouldn't that be handy?
Well, it's absolutely not a conflict of interest, I think, you know, to have a guy spending that much money on you and then deciding a case that directly affects him. But then again, you know, when should they ever recuse themselves for anything?
Well, that's true, because they're completely impartial.
Yeah.
Completely impartial. But thank you for that clarification. Appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
I did want to spend just a couple of minutes. There was a campaign rally, as PJ said,
where?
On the live stream last night in Washington.
Wow.
Yep. Donald Trump addressing the joint session of Congress for the first time since he was reelected. Here is the headline from the Daily Beast. MAGA melts down over Dems' refusal to clap during Trump's speech. They hate America, said Elon Musk, after congressional Democrats did not applaud. In case we have forgotten, because I do, there's so much news, it's easy to forget what happened last week. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah.
So I'm not blaming anybody for this, but let's remember when President Biden was giving an address to the joint session of Congress, and we had Marjorie Taylor Greene shrieking like a howler monkey in the back. That was apparently fine.
Yeah.
That was not a problem. But last night, this was completely unacceptable.
Yeah. And the thing is, and let's also not forget Joe Wilson, who called Barack Obama a liar and didn't get thrown out as well.
Right.
But it's kind of standard. From what I understand, they're making it seem like the Democrats walked in and didn't applaud for anything at all. That isn't true. But also, check out any State of the Union. Now, this wasn't a State of the Union. I understand that because that's not what happens in the first year of a new term. But there are plenty of times when the opposition does not clap.
Oh, my gosh, please.
Both sides. I mean, I've watched sitting Republicans sit down and not clap when they're talking about trying to secure safe gun measures for children.
Yep.
So you're going to get all huffy, puffy, poopy in your Pampers over them not liking your speech? Of course you didn't. We've heard this speech 1,000 times.
DEI hired Don Trump Jr., also blasting Democrats for not applauding Dad's speech last night. Quote, if you can't stand up and cheer for a kid with brain cancer being made an honorary member of the Secret Service, you might be a deeply disturbed and effed up person, according to Don Jr. I think that's great for that little boy. Unfortunately, for many other little boys who have brain cancer, that research now under Donald Trump has all been stopped.
Well, not to mention the fact that there'll be no chances of them getting of those parents getting better access to medical care because if the ACA is gone, it's going to be gone, and we don't have a president who's fighting on behalf of the people. He's fighting on behalf of the big insurance and medical companies
and Putin.
Yeah, so I would like to go back. I'd like to see that and see if nobody was clapping for that. Also, totally well-balanced human thing to say, Don Jr.
Oh, yeah, he's so level.
Yeah, he's definitely.
He's just even keel Don Jr. all the time.
Yeah.
Completely. I guess on the one hand, I am relieved because there are some folks who want to see the Democrats really go crazy.
Yeah.
And wanted to see, I don't know if they expected, there were rumors going around that some of the Democrats were going to bring in noisemakers.
They brought signs in.
They brought signs in, which, again, is a silent protest. Mm-hmm. But I don't want them to behave like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yeah. I don't think that helps.
I don't think they can pull it off the same way she can. She has a natural crazy to her. That's just deep well inside of her. Democrats trying to be, trying to buck the system. It doesn't work. What they did last night was Al Green getting kicked out because he said that the president didn't have a mandate because he doesn't have a mandate.
1.5% is not a mandate.
Nope.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cleansing breath. Cleansing breath. PJ in the live stream says that kid was a prop, unfortunately. And all good things to that little boy and his family. Nothing against that. It's all the other little boys with cancer and their families that now we have to be concerned about going forward.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. When we return, we're talking tariffs and the right to repair bill with the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. I hope you can stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. While Senator Tammy Baldwin and Senator Ron Johnson both held virtual town hall meetings, their views on Medicaid could not be further apart. Melissa Kay has more.
Senator Johnson said the problem with the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is that it covers able-bodied working-age adults.
Medicaid is completely out of control because Obamacare has put it in real danger.
Senator Baldwin helped write the Affordable Care Act and said it has allowed more people to access health care.
People with pre-existing health conditions used to not be able to get health insurance because the insurance companies can just say no. That changed with the Affordable Care Act.
Senator Johnson said the program has almost doubled in cost because of allowing single, working-age, childless adults to access health care through the program.
It's the Obamacare that has been put into Medicaid that threatens the solvency of Medicaid and threatens the solvency of our nation.
According to Senator Baldwin, Medicaid funding helps pay for nursing care for those on Medicaid. It also helps keep community health centers and critical access hospitals open in rural areas in Wisconsin.
This affects our local economies and especially our rural economies in significant ways.
72 million Americans rely on Medicaid for their health care. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
A Dane County judge has ordered the Wisconsin Department of Corrections to launch a new program aimed at giving incarcerated mothers and their infants more time together. The lawsuit was filed by the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin and cited a 1991 law requiring the Department of Corrections to provide a mother-young child care program for incarcerated individuals with a child under 1 year old. The program would include accommodations for mothers to be in the least restrictive confinement possible to care for their child. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A winter weather advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. Snow winds down late this afternoon. Winds are whipping up to 40 to 50 miles per hour, prompting a wind advisory. It's blowing and drifting some snow around, making it hard to see, and it's crashing our temperatures tonight down to the teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 34 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs Hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I talk a little show business with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Rich LoCascio from Civic Media's WRJN drops by to talk pro wrestling. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, the deadline to register to vote via mail or online for the April 1st general election is Wednesday, March 12th. So that is a week from today.
Gotcha. Yep.
You want to check out all the ways to register to vote in case you are not registered yet. Go to myvote.wi.gov. From local to statewide races, make a plan now. Turnout is going to be everything. It really is. And the other side is going to be very, very motivated to make sure that Elon's guy gets on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So go to myvote.wi.gov. Make a plan to go to the polls, either vote early or go to the polls on April 1st. Take some friends with you. Make it a thing.
Yeah.
Make it an event.
Get out there.
Get out there and take part in the process. It's really, really important.
It will most likely, depending on the time of day you go, it will probably take you all of, from getting out of the car to getting back in your car, about 5-10 minutes at the most.
Again, this is usually a very low turnout election, the spring elections. There are a bunch of referendums, a bunch of school referenda that are going to be on the ballot, depending upon where you are. But the one statewide race that's pulling in all kinds of money into Wisconsin is the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. So please make a plan to vote just a couple of weeks away. It is April 1st.
Yep.
Before we went to the news, we were talking about the campaign speech that was delivered in front of both houses of Congress last night. Ollie from the Northwoods has been very patient and wanted to comment about that. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us.
Ollie?
Ollie, are you there? She might have fallen asleep. She waited so long.
I know. You're so patient.
Ollie, if you want to call back, please do. 855-752-4842. Again, leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're going to move on to Representative Derek Van Orden, who loves his constituents.
He loves everyone, Jane.
He really does.
He loves America.
He's just the warmest, fuzziest, most responsive representative probably in Wisconsin history.
When you look at him, you just think of like, oh my God, it's Congress's grandpa.
Mary Spicuzza in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Representative Derek Van Orden threatens to report already fired VA employee to Elon Musk's Doge.
What?
Yeah. A disabled veteran named Tony Ruiz, who lost his job at the Los Angeles VA in early February. He's one of the thousands of probationary employees at federal agencies, including the Department of Veteran Affairs, who have been fired in recent weeks. Ruiz says he sent Derek Van Orden a LinkedIn message on February 10th, a week after he got laid off, asking him to please stop these firings. Because these are, I know shockingly, affecting real, actual people with lives and families and responsibilities.
And Derek Van Orden is a vet. He served in the Navy as a Navy SEAL. I would understand why this gentleman would want to reach out to a fellow vet.
Absolutely.
To say, hey, advocate, please help us.
Here is how Derek Van Orden responded to this request. Quote, I will be referring you to Doge, as it seems that at that time on a Monday, you should have been working for veterans, not posting trash about your boss, President Trump. There needs to be accountability now. Have a great day. Yeah, it seems Derek was unaware that Ruiz had already lost his job and was not sending a message on work time to ask to get his job back. I don't know, Derek, maybe reading comprehension isn't high.
Not to mention,
on his list.
Even when he was employed with the VA, his boss isn't Donald Trump. His boss is probably a dude named Rick. Like, I love when they say things like, dude, boss, Donald Trump. No, he works for a guy who works for a guy who works for, like, no one's working for Donald Trump. And why would you think that responding like that is normal?
But that's his response. But he always responds like that.
I guess that's his
normal.
That's a blanket question I have towards any. I mean, there's the now famous Senate pages he yelled at.
The library worker.
He yelled the thing that was at the RNC this past year.
Yep.
Then there's the reporter he got in her face about just asking simple questions about the budget. I mean, this guy does not know how to have a normal conversation. It is zero to Derek Von Bully in a second.
Absolutely. Shockingly, Derek Van Orden declined an interview request from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Instead, his office sent a reply mentioning backlogs that the VA currently has, adding, this shows, quote, why VA employees should be processing claims at work instead of spending time on social media, unquote. If there are backlogs at the VA, this seems like a wrong time to be firing a bunch of people who could be addressing the backlogs at the VA.
Yeah, there's a whole host of problems at the VA that no one denies. It's one of the worst kept secrets that there's a lot of dysfunction there.
Absolutely.
And that's the place you want the VA and a children's hospital to be the most gleaming, wonderful like place to walk in, get their thing done, go home. No one worries. But the VA has a lot of problems. And unfortunately, Donald Trump didn't walk into office on January 20th and fix the VA either. This happened. This gentleman's fired. And now the backlog's going to be even worse. And these veterans who gave their time, energy, and bodies now are just being once again pushed to the side right next to the farmers to say, hey, we love you, but not enough to help you.
Exactly. We're not going to actually do anything about it. We love to talk about how much we love you.
You stand next to me on a holiday.
This employee who just got fired, 47-year-old Tony Ruiz, had just won an Employee of the Quarter Award and got a $1,000 bonus. When he was fired in early February, he was told it was for performance, which is essentially what most federal employees have been told, even though they can bring their latest review and say, yeah, I got all A's or whatever, however they mark those.
Also, I have a question, and this is a literal HR question. When you want to fire someone for that, for performance, you have to have a ramp up of things. You have to have a verbal warning, a written warning, a final warning. You have to protect yourself.
It's a process.
To protect yourself against unemployment claims. This just seems like they're opening themselves up to lawsuits because I don't think it's an at-will position for these. I think, I don't know. If you know, please let me know. Please let us know. But if you use performance as the reason for the firing, that seems like liability to me. I don't know.
We'll see how it plays out in the courts.
Yeah.
Ruiz did join other federal workers who'd been fired from the VA. He was at the speech last night. He said he was trying to meet with Derek Van Orden before he leaves D.C. As for his future, he's considering moving to Wisconsin and running against him.
Boom! Oh!
And I also want to remind folks, and again, this happened last week and we hadn't had a chance to get around to it yet. There seems to be an attitude by some lacking respect for people who work for the federal government.
Yeah.
We have a quote from none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about federal employees. If you're a federal employee, we would love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. Calvin, let's play this clip of Marjorie Taylor Greene on people who work for the federal government.
But the American people disagree with you. You're protecting the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy is not a business. Those are not real jobs producing federal revenue. By the way, they're consuming taxpayer dollars. Those jobs are paid for by the American tax people who work real jobs, earn real income, pay federal taxes, and then pay these federal employees. Federal employees do not deserve their jobs. Federal employees do not deserve their paychecks.
There you go. You don't deserve it because, correct me if I'm wrong, federal employees actually pay taxes, don't they?
So this is a question I had for you, Jane. Have you ever heard someone say something you believe is so dumb that you go to Google thinking, maybe I'm the dumb one.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there's a secret that I don't know. And I Googled today, I'm a Google machine, do federal employees pay federal taxes? And after Google got done laughing at me, they said, yes.
Yeah.
So what she's saying, wait for it, makes no sense.
She's not the only one.
Of course not.
White House advisor Alina Habba has defended all of the job cuts under Donald Trump and says she has no sympathy for the thousands of people who have lost their jobs. Quote, I really don't feel sorry for them. They should get back to work for the American people like President Trump and this administration when he's not golfing. It was also noted, though, that some military veterans were part of that group. Alina says, we don't mean we forget our veterans. We're going to take care of them in the right way, but perhaps they're not fit to have a job at this moment or not willing to come to work. And we can't, you know, I wouldn't take money from you and pay somebody and say, sorry, you know, they're not going to come to work. It's just not acceptable. So you have no value, guys.
Nope.
And it's not us saying that. It's members of the Trump administration.
And shut up and work if you have a job, which you should feel lucky and be like the president, or go away. And if you're a vet, you're not vetty enough for us, I guess.
855-752-4842 if you would like to weigh in on this. Pretty harsh remarks from Republicans about federal employees. Yeah, you don't deserve your job, and you don't.
I guess the question I have for the live stream or whomever the disagreeers, the dissenters among the show, where are you? When we talk about this total lack of respect for vets and for these federal workers who are being fired for no good reason, I don't hear people crying out, well, they're not worth it. They're terrible. No, because we don't say that about vets. This is not something where people jump in and start getting all defensive of Trump. He is disrespecting our veterans who are just trying to live their life after doing what this country asked them to do, which is sacrifice their time, their energy, and possibly their bodies for this nation. I think a simple response from Derek Van Orten to this, from Mr. Ruiz, would have been, thank you for contacting
me. And thank you for your service.
Thank you. Yes. First of all, thank you for your service. I will look into it. Even a form letter. My God, man. And Marjorie
Taylor.
That's
not his style.
Oh, God. Where's Jasmine Crockett when we need her in that room?
Ollie from the Northwoods is back. Ollie, we are up against the break, but thanks for calling back. What did you want to say real quickly?
Well, I'm sorry that I cut you off earlier. I was receiving a call back from Governor Evers' office. The second one in 2 days. So I want people to know that Governor Evers is listening to his constituents and not hiding out from town hall meetings. He does care, and there is hope. I also had comments about, for that young man, Trump said that he got cancer from chemicals. And so not only is he doing away with cancer research, he's also doing away with the EPA, helps cover, protect us from pollutants. Many people with asthma and kids are getting asthma more and more these days have terrible health issues and end up in the hospital and many dying.
You make really good points, Ollie. Thank you so much, and thank you very much for listening. Speaking of, run away.
Who now?
We have an update. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the Center, WRCE. Contact D&T Pump and Well for well service and pump replacement. It's springtime and D&T is scheduling spring and summer projects. Mary and Derek, owners of D&T Pump and Well, are insured and do new installs, and they fix existing systems including submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies, and it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up, because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Well, I walk back down. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour, for the last half hour, we try to lighten things up a little bit just so we can all take a breath.
Yeah.
So Oscars were just awarded on Sunday night.
Yes.
So we're thinking about movies. What movie does everyone else love that you hate? No judgment zone.
No, none.
No judgment zone. We all have our own opinions.
I know my taste in movies not very good.
Well, we would love to hear what is the movie that everybody loves but you.
Yeah.
So that is after the 11:30 news. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Flipper Flips Out edition. There's also a video component we will include in the show notes. So stick around for that at the very end of the show. Did want to talk about, though, the bravery being exhibited by our Republican representatives. Of course, a couple of them had town halls last week. Representative Scott Fitzgerald, who hasn't, I don't know, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Couldn't pick him out of the lineup.
I'm so glad he's still okay. Scott Fitzgerald and Glenn Grothman held a couple town halls last week where they got pushback.
Yes.
From people who were not happy. And then the head of the National Republican Committee came out and said, don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
No more town halls. It's making us look bad. These clips are going viral. We can't have that. So stop doing them. But that is not stopping our brave, brave Republicans in Wisconsin. Tom Tiffany says he will continue to hold in-person town halls throughout the year. Representatives Brian Stile and Glenn Grothman have suggested they will also continue to hold in-person events. However, Tony Weed, newly elected in the Green Bay area, says he's going to hold a telephone town hall. A telephone town hall. He
convenient.
Didn't say whether he would host in-person town halls. Also, I think it's important to remind folks that there was supposed to be a rally this Saturday. We talked about it last week. Dr. Kristen Lierley put it on her Facebook page. Mm-hmm. The Brown County GOP, they had an open event set for this Saturday at Town Line in Howard, featuring Tony Weed, Brad Schimmel, John Macko, Todd Delane. Now, this is from listener Greg. Thank you so much for sending this in. He said this showed up on a local Facebook page I follow in Green Bay. Now, this previously open event is a private event. Despite being listed as a public event, now it is a private event meant for members and supporters, and they'll ensure it runs smoothly by checking and logging IDs at the door. Law enforcement will be there for everyone's safety, according to the Brown County GOP. Thank you, Greg, again, for sending that in. Yes, the previously public event set for this Saturday, because they're so brave.
They're brave.
They're willing to take the heat from their constituents on unpopular decisions, but maybe not so much.
They're willing, Jane, to listen to the people as long as they know exactly which people are going to be there asking which questions they want them to ask and make sure the doors lock from the inside.
Yeah, we don't want any scary people asking hard questions. Yeah. I hate when people ask hard questions. Christine from Slinger, by the way, texting in, listening on WAUK. Please mention the protest yesterday in Waukesha. Lots of people going by in their cars and beeping in support of democracy. Thank you. I was surprised to see so much support in a red area. And again, now Derek Van Orden is calling anyone who protests against these policies,
yes,
they're agitators. They're Russian agitators, apparently.
The same people who the same kind of agitating they did in Germany back in the 30s.
Right.
Oh, that can't be good.
855-752-4842. If you would like to chime in on this, Cassandra from New London is on the line. Good morning, Cassandra. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, you guys. I was actually planning on going to that event that Tony was going to hold for Mr. Schimmel. But that's the first I've heard that he kind of closed that off. So that's a little disappointing.
Yep. Isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's interesting. Tony likes to pat himself on the back a lot lately. If you look on his Facebook recently, he called somebody that was going to be accepted to one of the military academies. And I think it's interesting that he's not mentioning to these people that are going to be in the military that they may have to follow illegal orders that the president wants to have us do, especially since we can't, follow through with our First Amendment right to protest.
Yeah, that's something that came up yesterday. Yeah, that came up yesterday, Cassandra. Thank you for that. And appreciate you listening. Yeah, it's... They don't want to answer the tough questions. They don't want to have to be held accountable for what's happening under the administration that they are fully supportive of.
Yep. The other thing, too, is like you tell those people who are accepted into military academies or anyone just joining the service, and by the way, great on you, congratulations, that when you get out and you are a vet, don't expect any respect from this administration either, because they don't care about you at all.
And again, we're getting claims now. They were all paid protesters.
Who?
Please call us if you got paid. I would love to talk to you. And I'd love to find out how I could get paid. That would be really, really nice. I could use a little supplemental income on the side. News is coming up next. And when we return, Darren Von Ruden.
There it is.
Head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. I got the name right. With us. We're talking tariffs. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayeron. Too many Derricks, too many Bonds, many bands. I'm confused. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll break down the presidential address with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project and see what's ahead for Ukraine. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court has ruled that USAID must pay international aid groups that have already provided services. President Trump had been trying to pause that funding, says ABC's Devin Dwyer.
Four conservative justices dissenting, Justice Alito writing, I am stunned that the Supreme Court has taken this position, ordering the executive to pay out money that he doesn't want to pay out.
Some aid groups say they risk going under without those government funds. The Trump administration pushing a list of more than 440 federal properties it has identified to close or sell, including the main Department of Justice building and the FBI headquarters. Later, it backtracked on that list. A senior Canadian government official tells the Associated Press Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is not willing to lift Canada's retaliatory tariffs if President Trump leaves any tariffs on Canada. Stocks holding steadier today than the past 2 days. This is ABC News.